Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our Old Testament reading from 1 Samuel 16, and we are focusing on verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." So we're beginning this new series called The Gospel According to David. And when we think of King David, we think of him as a man after God's own heart. We think of him as King David, the mighty King David, who wrote all those Psalms. We think of King David who fought all these battles and that he was just a great man of Israel. But what made him great? Well, what this series is going to unpack is not anything in and of David himself made him the great king of Israel. It was all the Lord and his grace to David. And so we're going to begin right at the beginning when David shows up on the scene with his anointing as king. Now, to kind of help us unpack this, I want to tell you a little bit of personal history here. So I'm a pastor. There you go. And part of my pastoral training was my third year of seminary, I got to spend on a vicarage. It's like an internship at a local congregation. So this is my hand. This stands for Michigan. And this is where I was, okay? Sawyer, Michigan. All right, everybody knows where Sawyer, Michigan is pretty much. You got New Buffalo down here, you got Benton Arbor up here, and if you keep driving, you will miss Sawyer, I guarantee you. It's very small. But it was a wonderful congregation, very loving, and they too had services on both Saturday and Sunday. And so after the Saturday evening service, I would come home, eat some dinner, and my daughter Grace, who was maybe about this big, now she's like up here, we'd put her to bed, and we're kind of a little tired. We're just like, well, you know, what should we do? Let's watch some TV. And we found a show on PBS called Keeping Up Appearances. It's a British sitcom. And if you haven't watched it, please watch it. It is hilarious because it all focuses on this one main character named Hyacinth Bucket, but she pronounces her name Bouquet. And the reason that she pronounces it Bouquet is because she is a social climber. She wants to get up in the good graces of all the upper echelons of society, and she's going to put on a bunch of outward appearances to try to get there. But what makes this show so funny is that as she's trying to keep up these appearances, the rest of her family, who are very low class indeed, they keep interrupting things. But it wasn't only a funny sitcom to watch. It actually had a very valid point about how people run their lives. You see, it was the outward appearance of things. It was showing everyone just how well-kept her home, her life, her mannerisms were. It was the outward appearance that mattered most to this character. And it was outward appearances that mattered most to Samuel the prophet. So as we begin this kind of story here, Samuel is literally standing there bawling his eyes out. Why? Because the Lord has rejected King Saul from being king over Israel. But the king, the Lord's like, okay, whoa, stop. Go down to Bethlehem, and I'm going to show you the king that I am going to choose to rule over my people. And so Samuel goes down there under this pretense, I've come peaceably. I haven't come to proclaim gloom and doom to Israel. I'm just coming to sacrifice to the Lord. So Jesse, I want you to consecrate yourselves and all your sons and then come with me. And so they do it. And one by one, Jesse's sons start to walk in front of Samuel. And here comes the firstborn, Eliab. And Samuel instantly looks at him and thinks, ho, this has got to be the Lord's anointed. This has got to be the king. Now, why would Samuel even think something like that? Well, because Eliab was the firstborn, and therefore he was tall. He was the most grown up. He was a big guy. And that was just what King Saul was. He was tall. He was a warrior. And so if that's what King Saul looked like, well, then Eliab, he must fit. But the Lord thinks differently. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. You see, Saul had been chosen as king according to human ways of choosing, looking at the outward appearances. They wanted a big, tall, strapping guy who was a mighty warrior to rule like the other nations. But see, when the Lord rejected Saul, he actually rejected their ways of choosing. No, the Lord was going to choose his king his way, and that way was by looking on the heart. Thing is, when we look at this situation, we find ourselves in the same situation, don't we? We judge by outward appearances. We have to. That's what we can see right there. We judge people by how they dress, what cars they drive, what homes they live in, what jobs they have. And sometimes we judge people by outward appearances, and we shouldn't judge them that way. Because when we're judging by outward appearances, we're making a value judgment. We're actually counting someone as worth value, worth our love, worth our respect. And you can see how this has gotten an entire nation in trouble here in the United States. Because many people, they look at the outward appearance of someone. They look at the color of their skin, and they instantly deem them inferior. They look at a sonogram of what appears to be a clump of cells, and they immediately make a judgment and say, that can't be a baby. And it's not just any of that. We just look at other people. We look at the things they say. We look at the things they do. We look at where they live. And we think, maybe they're not worth my time. Maybe they're not worth my love. But see, because we judge by outward appearances, it comes right back on us. That's why all of us try to keep up appearances, because we know that people are judging us. Are we lovable? Are we valuable to them? That's why people are just, trying so hard to make themselves look like I've got it all together. Everything is going fine in my life. And especially as a Christian in the church, we feel that pressure. You know, the Lord calls us to holy living, and we're going to strive for it. We got to look like we're not even sinning anymore. And see, we try to keep up these outward appearances because we don't want people, and even the Lord, looking on our hearts. Because we know exactly the truth of the Lord's words when he says it is out of the heart that comes all kinds of evil and wickedness. Oh yeah, you may be feeling anger, intense anger in your heart, even as you have a smile on your face. You may be feeling a deep jealousy or envy burning inside your heart, even as you are congratulating others on their good fortune. You may be smiling and laughing and everything is just going just peachy king. But inside, you feel guilt. You feel desperation. That's why we try to keep up these appearances, because that's what people do. They judge by appearances, and God forbid they look on our hearts. So, Samuel is like, okay, the Lord does not see as we see, he looks on the heart, fine. So here comes the next son, Abinadab. Nope, Lord hasn't chosen him. Next son comes Shammah. Nope, Lord hasn't chosen him. And it's almost kind of funny. It's like a descending staircase of height. You know, here they come, you know, seven sons. And next thing you know, Samuel's like, Lord hasn't chosen any of them. Jesse, do you have any other sons? Jesse's kind of like, well, there is the youngest, but he's out tending the sheep. It's like he's embarrassed. He doesn't even name him by name. He doesn't even say David is tending the sheep. He says the youngest. But Samuel says, get him, fetch him, let's go. We're not doing anything else until you bring him before me. And so eventually Samuel looks on David. And he looks at his ruddy complexion, red, you know, healthy pallor there. He looks on his absolutely stunning, beautiful eyes. In fact, he looks at this boy who is literally just good looking. He's handsome. He's a hunk. And he looks at these outward appearances and he's thinking, this cannot be the Lord's anointed. He's the youngest. He's the smallest. He's hardly grown up. I mean, and he's a shepherd. This can't be the Lord's king. But the Lord says to Samuel, that's it. That's the one. That's my king. Because the Lord looks on the heart. And it's not that the Lord sees something in David that makes him the ideal king. He looks on the heart of David and he sees a sinful heart just like you and me, a heart that was sinful from birth, sinful from conception. But see, the Lord looks on the heart of David and he sees a righteousness that comes through faith in God alone, just like his ancestor Abram. Abram believed the Lord and it was credited to him as righteousness. You see, God chose his king by grace alone and not by outward appearances. This anointing of the king, well, it points to another anointing. When a rabbi from backwater Nazareth, who really, he did not look like much, but he comes to the Jordan and he is baptized by his cousin John, and the Holy Spirit rushes upon him in the form of a dove, and a voice comes from the cloud and says, this is my beloved son, I am well pleased with him. And why was God pleased with Jesus? Was it because of his outward appearance? No, it was because the Lord looks on the heart, and he looks on the heart of Jesus, and he sees a heart that is breaking over sinners, that is crushed over sinful humanity that has rebelled against God, has rejected him, and has plunged themselves into death and despair. And he sees a heart that is willing to do anything to get them back. Yes, the Lord looks on the heart of Jesus, a heart that is sinless, but is willing to become sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. He looks on a heart that is willing to go all the way to the cross, suffering, beaten, bleeding, dying, also that he can cleanse our sinful hearts so that he can create new hearts within us, so that he can cover them with his righteousness. And that anointing of Jesus points to another anointing. Doesn't look like much on the outside. Water, some words, that's it. Takes like maybe 10 seconds. But whereas we only see that, here's what the Lord sees. He sees water poured over sinful hearts. He sees the Holy Spirit rushing upon sinners. And he sees new creations born right then and there. You see, in your baptism, God says to you, I choose you. Not because of anything in you, but because of my grace alone. You are loved, you are mine, you are absolutely beautiful in my sight, no matter what your outward appearance is. Maybe you don't like your outward appearance. Maybe you don't like how what's come out of your sinful heart has now bubbled over. Maybe you don't like the words that you say to people. Maybe you don't like the things that you do and you instantly want to take them back. Maybe you don't like the anger and the doubt and the worry that just is ruining everything. And maybe you're tired of trying to keep up appearances with everyone. Maybe you're tired of others just judging you according to their worldly sinful standards. And maybe you're tired of trying to keep up with God's requirement of perfection. Because when you look inside in your sinful heart, you really don't like what you see there. Good news. The Lord, he doesn't look on outward appearances. He doesn't see as man sees. He looks on the heart, and he sees a heart forgiven. He sees a heart full of the Holy Spirit. He sees the heart of Jesus beating in you. And that is what matters most. Amen.